Taste of Country Nights with Evan Paul on demand with Jordan Davis.
I was like, we're having another kid. And the first thing she says, this was funny. She goes, we need a bigger house.
That was Jordan Davis's reaction when his wife said, we're having our fourth kid. Now, within this conversation with Jordan Davis, we talk about that. If he wants to have more kids, what's next on his agenda? And we're just checking in with him. Anybody with three kids and another one on the way, just seeing how life is going, man. Thanks in advance for listening to this interview with Jordan Davis. You can check back with some of our previous podcasts. Just search for Taste of Country Nights on demand. We're hanging out with Jordan Davis, man. I ain't saying. That thing is going crazy, man. Yeah. Congratulations on getting it all the way up.
Thank you, man. That one's been a fun one. A song, my first ever outside song that I cut as a single. But three buddies of mine wrote that. And when they played it for me, I was like, dang, are y'all sure I didn't write this? Like, it just feels like a song that I would write. But, man, they crushed it, and it's been really cool to see it kind of catch fire.
How's that changed the landscape of your live show?
Oh, man. I mean, anytime you can add a song like that to the set, you know, it's kind of, I feel like the first couple records, you're just like writing the best songs you can write, and you're not really thinking about, you know, a live performance never came into thinking about making a track list, you know? And then you kind of start to have more success and the shows get bigger and you're like, all right, now I got to play for an hour and a half, close to 2 hours. I can't play By Dirt 6 times. I need something that's going to keep people fired up and moving. So it's always great to add a tempo to the live show.
As a writer, and I know sad songs are kind of bigger, easier to write. Yeah. How many sad songs are you sitting on right now that you like you have in your head, in your phone, done, ready to go?
Oh, man. I don't know. Not a ton. I mean, like my writing has been so kind of sparse over the last year and a half, 2 years, that when I wrote a song that I felt good about, we went and cut it, and it's probably going to be on this next album. But this was also a record. I wrote a lot of sad songs on this last album. So, like, or not sad songs, I guess just, like, slow songs. So this one's going to be – this one doesn't have as many slow songs on it. We're kind of – this next record is going to be pretty up-tempo.
Okay, all right. Now, let's get into the kids situation, man. You got a lot of kids now. 2025 is that's an odd year, which means you're having another baby.
Yeah.
If we gave you a truth serum, how are you feeling, man?
Oh, man. I'm just so, like, whatever at this point, you know? It's like, me and Kristen really weren't trying to have another kid. I know everybody always laughs at that, but, like, it was one of those things of, like, when she told me, I was like, whatever. You know, she told me the morning she told me she was going on a girls trip. They're going out to, I think, Arizona, and she wakes up at like 4:45 to go to the airport. So when she comes in the room, I'm thinking she's just going to say like, hey, I'm heading to the airport. I'll see you in a couple of days.
Dang, drop the heater on.
And woke up at 4:45. I had just got in off the road the day before. So like already tired, looking forward to like sleeping in. And at 4:45, she's like, I'm pregnant. And I was just like, is this a dream? Like,
how much different was that from the first one? The first one was probably like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. Yeah. This one's like, boom, 4:45.
Yeah. The first one, really the first three, because we were kind of like trying. So it's like, when she tells you, like, oh, let's go. That's awesome. And this one, I'm just like, what are we going to do? Like, it was funny. Our babysitter came over because I was up. I mean, after she told me that, I'm just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, and so my babysitter comes in like 7:00. The kids are all still asleep. And she's like, what are you doing up? Cause I mean, I'm usually like still out. And I was like, we're having another kid. And the first thing she says, this was funny. She goes, we need a bigger house. I was like, you don't even live here. Like, this is your house, but we do need a bigger house.
Well, I think now you're eligible for our list of country stars with the most kids. You're equal to Tammy Wynette and Roseanne Cash, but you have less than Stapleton.
How many is Stapleton have?
Four, five? Yeah.
Five.
So, I mean, are you?
I'm on my way, baby.
Okay, so that
no,
leads
no,
me
no, 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 no,
to
no,
my
no,
next
nope,
question.
Nope.
Okay.
You know.
Are you
I'm telling
them?
You right now. Oh, it's over, bro.
What does it look like getting ready to go out nowadays for you guys? So it's like like family. Like, oh, let's go to the farmer's market. What's it like?
It's I mean, it's minivan. We're approaching minivan status.
Ooh, what's holding you back?
To be honest with you, I think minivans are awesome.
Yeah.
Like the practicality of them is undeniable. I think my wife's the one holding. She's got the Suburban.
Oh.
But it's like harder to get the kids in and out of the Suburban.
So you want a minivan, but your wife is holding you back.
Yeah, I could do it. But I like never drive anyway. I'm never here. So like she's like, no, I have to drive it.
But it's still you're labeled as a minivan dad if you get one. Just be prepared for that.
That's true. That's true.
In the songwriting rounds, it's going to be a little interesting.
Yeah.
I want to play a clip for you. I recently had Kane Brown in here, and he just became a boy dad as well. And listen to what he had to say.
There's nothing that even can make you feel that way other than just having a son. You know, when I had two girls, it was like, oh, I'm gonna protect you and cherish you. And
right.
Now my son's 6 months old, and I'm just like, you're going to be a fucking beast.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Do you kind of feel that way?
Yeah. There's definitely a change in, like, the way I treat my daughter and the way I treat my boys.
Okay.
Like, it's 100% a change in, like, toughness, you know. And a lot of that's just, like, I think you're just raised the way you were. My dad was like that. But yeah, my daughter can get away with anything. And dude, my son, I'm not tough on him, but like, I just like, you know, I play rough with him. Like we box. I've actually got to stop this cause he's like doing it at school. But like me and him like joke around, like shadow box and stuff.
Oh, and he's like going up to kids.
And so now he's going to kids and he's like, me and my dad fight at home. I was like, no, don't say that.
You just toured Australia with Combs. Do you have any Australian thoughts, any Aussie thoughts
Dude,
you want to report back with?
Australia's wild. Like, there's some wild fan bases here in the States, but dude, Australia is crazy. The fans are amazing. They love country music. You know, the cities are awesome. It's a long ways away, but, man, I truly would go back in a heartbeat. It was so much fun.
What's something that people don't appreciate enough about Luke Combs as an entertainer?
I mean, the guy's a freak, dude. I mean, it's, you know, I think the thing for me, which is, you know, Luke's been a buddy coming up on a while now, but man, that show is just, you forget how many songs the dude has. And he still doesn't even play some of them. But man, that's just he's legit. He's a real deal.
And what's something underappreciated about him as a person that just people don't know or get to see?
Oh man, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think for me, probably being a dad, you know, being able to see somebody that is a great dad like Combs is and still be able to do it at such a high level. You know, it's what you see is what you get. That's what I told a lot of people over there when they'd ask about Luke. It's like, you know, I know that's one of his songs, but like, man, he's truly the same dude on stage that he is off stage. It's what you see is what you get with him. I love that dude to death.
Country music's changing very fast. What's acceptable now that wasn't like 10 or 20 years ago, would you say? Like as an artist.
What's acceptable now?
Like what can you get away with now that you couldn't 10 or 20 years ago?
Nothing. I feel like now you like have to be more careful than, I feel like 10 or 20 years ago, those guys had it made.
Okay.
You didn't have any cell phones or you just didn't have any social media to track your whereabouts. Not that I'm like out there running.
Right, right.
But like, I think nowadays it's harder to get away with anything than it was 15, 20 years ago.
So if you were the president of country music, what would be the first thing you did?
Oh, gosh. Give everybody private jets so you can be home quicker. Get rid of tour buses.
Get rid of tour buses. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question.
Okay. Who's an artist that who really believed in you, like more than you believed in yourself when you first got here? Is there someone that's always stuck with you that's always been like, no, man, you're the guy?
Yeah, artist-wise. Man, I'd go back to like the early days of the guys that took me out on tour. Kip Moore took me out on 3 tours really helped me build a fan base. And, you know, Kip's fan base is crazy. Like, they're diehards. You know, but yeah, I would say that with Kip. Like, I learned a lot from Kip early on. I mean, before I had a record deal, he was taking me on tours. Chase Rice was another one that believed in me early and took me out to open shows. So I've always got a special spot for those two guys for believing in me quick on and allowing me to kind of get the ball rolling and learn how to play shows.
So to pay it forward, like who would you say is next?
Golly, there's a bunch of talented cats in town. Vincent Mason's, I think, the real deal. Who else? I need to listen to more music. I'd say Vincent, man. I really dig what he's doing.
All right. And a couple here, rapid fire questions, just straight answers. You get front row seat for any artist alive. Who are you picking?
They have to be alive. George Strait. I've never seen George live.
Wow.
Yep.
You met him, but never seen him live?
I don't think I've met George.
You haven't met George Strait?
I don't think
either
I
is
have.
Luke Combs. It must be a
Luke hasn't met him?
Yeah, he told us that. It must be a curse.
Well, I don't feel bad. Now I don't feel that bad for not meeting him. If Luke hasn't met him. Yeah, I'd say George Strait.
Give me a fashion trend that you can't pull off.
Fashion trend I can't pull off. A lot. I would go out baggy jeans.
You can't pull off baggy jeans.
They got to be somewhat tight because I just look like I'm 9 feet tall and I weigh 80 pounds.
George Strait or Keith Whitley?
Ooh. Wow. Oh, God. I mean, I guess I got to. Oh, dude, that's tough. And then I said George for my concert. So, like, now I'm like going back on. No, yeah, I'm going Keith Whitley.
Do you enjoy Media Day?
Yeah. No, I really do.
Does your family cut coupons?
No, we don't cut coupons.
Last time you got good and drunk?
I got buzzed last night. I just started sipping Basil Hayden and just didn't stop. The last time I really tied one on, probably involved Luke Combs after that last show in Australia. Well, it wasn't the last show. It was the night before. So he did 2 nights.
Okay.
So the Friday night in Melbourne. So that was 8 days ago.
Raising Cane's or Popeye's?
Oh, Raising Cane's.
Is your wife a good cook?
Yeah, she is.
All right, fine.
I'm better, but she's pretty good.
Are you a good cook?
I am. I'm pretty good.
Awesome, man. We appreciate you coming by, dude.
Evan, you're the man, dude. Appreciate you.
Thank you. All right, let's bring in Billy Dukes from behind the camera to talk about this interview here with Jordan Davis. What you got, man?
This was one of the most relatable interviews I think you've ever done. Like, I was having a hard time not jumping on the microphone, being like, dude, I know how you feel.
Yeah, this poor guy, man. Obviously he's not a poor guy, but this guy is in the thick of life right now. And to add on to it, you know, he's a country music superstar. So, I mean, you know, that's a tough gig he's got going on.
The fourth kid announcement to him is like just like you. The first few kids, when you're told by the wife, maybe there's like a little presentation or something, like a something special, a keepsake. The fourth one's just, oh, by the way,
yeah. I thought that was interesting, man. And he was just like, no, 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 okay, no. And then the babysitter thing about we're needing a new house. That's funny.
Yeah. So he is pro minivan. I am pro mini. How does Evan Paul feel about minivan becoming minivan dad?
Well, I used to be very anti minivan, as is every guy. But now the logistics, it only makes sense. However, I will say that in the time it took me to accept the fact that minivans are cool, it's like a worldly amount of money to get one now. It used to be like, oh, you have to get a minivan. Yeah. Now it's like, oh, you want a minivan? Well, you're going to have to pay for that. So it's like, I don't know.
Minivan dad and new minivan dad aren't necessarily the same dad. Like, I feel like that's like a different... Because you're right, new minivans now. Woo! It's about the price like what full-size conversion vans used to be back in the day.
Yeah, and I feel like if Jordan Davis and his wife got a minivan, they would get like the ultimate minivan, and it would be like nice and cool and tinted. And
You know.
But at this point, yeah, he might be needing a Sprinter van, you know, one of those big Mercedes Amazon delivery trucks.
Uh-huh. Once upon a time, I had it figured out. I'm like, I know the ultimate dad car, a limousine.
Ooh, you know? That is good. Except, I don't know. They're not exceptionally safe. You could be riding down the street and it could crack in half and just go, but you never know.
Yeah, I never got into like the Consumer Reports, like maintenance of the limousine, I guess. My wife shut it down pretty hardcore because she was anti-minivan. Like, she hated the minivan until all of a sudden she didn't, and we got one. And now, like, going back to, like, the price of minivans, like, next year I think our minivan could be legal drinking age. That's how long we're holding on to this minivan.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I'm back to the Dodge Caravan Plymouth Voyager days where, you know, yeah. I think when I was growing up, we had a Grand Caravan. I'd give you that extra 6 inches of space, you know, but these kids nowadays, yeah, I mean, you're looking at TVs, you know, satellite, vacuums, like, you know, these minivans now are no joke, man.
I got one for you, the Ford Astro van.
Oh, it looked like a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, and no foot room in the front seat.
Yeah.
It was terrible for that.
That wheel was right there on the left, right?
Yep. It was my buddy's dad had it. So when he was 16, we got to drive that around town. So we'd pile everybody in the Astro van.
Yeah, that
Astro. A great bad vehicle to have.
The Astro van. There was another one that looked like a vacuum, too. I can't remember. I don't know. A lot of those vans weren't the best back in the day, but we were trying as a country, you know, but I feel like we're there now, you know, Kia's got it all figured out, but I wonder what Jordan Davis would get if they got a minivan, because the luxury brands don't really carry them per se. Like, I don't know if there's like a BMW minivan, a Lexus minivan. I don't know.
No, they don't. They try to make them into more like SUVs now.
Yeah.
Lexus isn't getting into minivans. And if they did, they wouldn't call it a minivan. They'd call it something much slicker.
Yeah.
Which, I don't blame him. So, that's his problem. I mean, those when you got money, man, what the problems that come with it, I tell you.
I tell you what. Yeah. I mean, definitely. He should get one of them big old, what are those, Amazon computer. What is that, Elon Musk?
Yeah, there
truck?
You go.
Yeah, the Cybertruck. He should get a Cybertruck.
You see those things driving around town? I see a lot of them now.
Yeah, I do, man. I try not to look just because I don't want to give them the gratification, you know, but it doesn't do it for me.
That's like, it feels like the automotive equivalent of the King's has no clothes on. You know what I mean? Like, no one's telling the person in the Tesla truck, the Cybertruck, that their car looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
It looks ridiculous.
It does. It does. And to think they pay so much for it, you know, I could see driving that as an experiment, you know, but to pay for it, it's kind of crazy.
So we have Kip Moore coming in soon, and he'll be a guest on this podcast. So you have to play him the clip from Jordan talking about how much he appreciated Kip bringing him on tour for three tours and this and that, because I think Kip's one of those artists, I think, that really does a good job of letting the younger artists kind of know what's up and giving them those tips and, like, useful things that he shares.
I agree. And also, there's been an ongoing thing here at Taste of Country with Kip Moore for years now where, you know, he doesn't like to talk about his relationships, but we always ask him. So I feel like I need to keep that going. And I'm going to set it up the same exact way I've done in the past. I'm just going to say, Taste of Country fans, come to us for Kip Moore news. They want to know if he's single. And then he'll go, yeah, and it's going to stay that way, too. That's exactly what he's going to say. It's like Groundhog's Day.
We should put together a little bit of a supercut of us asking him about his relationships and play that for him as kind of an intro. And then make sure you do it at the end of the interview, though, because if he gets mad and walks out, I want to walk away with something.
That's true. Do you think he's going to have his hair back, or do you think he's still short-haired?
Kip's hair is always a mystery. Like, I never know what he's going to look like when he comes in. Sometimes he has a lot of hair and it's pulled up. Sometimes it's real buzz. Sometimes he's got a beard. Sometimes he's clean shaven. Like, you never really know what version of Kip Moore you're going to get when he comes in the studio.
Yeah, it just depends if he's fresh from the wilderness, you know, where he went on like a 400-day sabbatical in the Darien Gap, or if he, you know, is in town. I guess it's we'll find out. So, yeah, come to Taste of Country here. Look for us on demand. Taste of Country Nights, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And be on the lookout for that Kip Moore episode to drop